This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Oh, now this is more like it.
There you go.
It's time for sports.
It's time for MP on the mic.
All right, listen up, class.
School is in session. Let's go. 11 o'clock. Michael Phillips, MP on the mic. 11 minutes away from giving out $50 to TGI Fridays, so don't you go anywhere. We'll be at TGI Fridays tomorrow, Friday's show, May 10th. For those of you listening on the podcast wondering, do I come out to TGI Fridays or not? If you're listening to this before Friday, May 10th, yes, come to TGI Fridays. If you're listening to this after Friday, May 10th, odds are I am not actively at TGI Fridays. I am probably doing something else, although you could always swing by, take a chance. Maybe I will be sitting at TGI Fridays. You never know. West Broad Street, Broad and Glenside, Richmond's West End. We're at TGI Fridays tomorrow for the show. We are fired up about that. Come by, hang with us. Show ends at noon, but we'll be hanging out for a bit. Having all the apps. I'm very much on record. It's saying I'm an app guy. You're not going to see me with an entree. You're just going to see me pounding mott sticks, potato skins, jalapeno poppers. You order it, and I mean, I'm in on it. I want a bite of it, basically. If I see an app, I can't stay away. That's the warning to you right there. Get an entree, have fun, knock yourself out. I'm an app guy. Lots of Commanders news. I want to start the hour with that. Of course, we'll get into Major League Baseball. Big night last night. Nats and the O's, still not a rivalry, but they traded punches for a little while. Bottom of the 12th, Nats had the tying run at the plate, weren't able to get it across, but a very exciting game there. NHL playoffs have absolutely delivered, and this Knicks-Pacers series is getting red hot. We will dive into all that during the show. Of course, Jaden Daniels is the new star in the area. He is quarterback for the Washington Commanders. He was on Keyshawn Johnson's podcast this week. He was asked about a $10,000 bet. We'll dive into that in a second. But he was also asked if he'll be the week one starter. Here's Keyshawn Johnson.
Do you anticipate starting week one? Do I anticipate? I mean, I'm confident in my abilities, but if that's a decision that they got to make, that's above
me. And I ain't asked you. Stop.
That's what I'm saying. That's a decision.
Do you, as the number two pick in the draft, anticipate starting?
I mean, or you think they're going to be bring you along slowly, so to speak?
From what I heard, they said whenever I'm ready, I'm ready.
Yeah.
So whenever I feel like I'm ready, I'm ready.
Yeah, I didn't start. I'm trying to think when I start. I probably didn't start till midway during the year.
Yeah, they didn't tell me like, oh, like you got to start week one. They just said whenever you're ready, like you ready. Whenever you feel ready, we feel you ready. We're going to throw you out there.
Keyshawn Johnson. That's right. That's the question. And I think everybody's curious about, by the way, he said he didn't start until midway through his rookie year. 14 games his rookie year with the Jets. So he might have sat out a couple along the way, but he was in there from the get-go. He was an early selection, and they threw him in early and often. You know me. I'm very much on the record here. I would not start Jaden Daniels week one. This is a long game, and I think you can do far more damage than you can have success. I think Dan Quinn understands it's a long game. Adam Peters lives for the long game, right? Look at this draft. That was a long game draft if there ever was one. A lot of these guys they took will pay off as they develop, as they acclimate, as they get coached. They did not mortgage the farm to go get a left tackle to protect their quarterback. That's not the only reason, but that's a big reason. And look, hey, Brandon Coleman shows up at minicamp. We'll be out there watching. We'll be taking notes. Brandon Coleman shows up at minicamp, starts blocking the snot out of everybody. Be like, oh, that's a left tackle. All right. I have one fewer objection. I just don't see how this is a team that can be legitimately competitive this year. I don't think they've got it in them. I don't think they're built for that, right? Zach Ertz is your starting tight end. If you had played, is Zach Ertz still in the league with me a few months ago? Probably not. There he is. He's your starting tight end right now. I think these young guys will be good. I actually like John Bates as a blocker a lot. I think he might be a week one starter. I think we're sleeping on that just for the blocking. But you got a lot of questions, including what are you going to do at these tackle positions? Well, you got Andrew Wiley. You got Andrew Wiley. Everybody saw how that worked out. You know, got Cornelius Lucas. Okay. He's been fine. He's been a very dependable swing tackle for a while. You going to ride 17 games of that with Jaden Daniels? It just strikes me as a bad idea to come out of the gate with a rookie quarterback who you're putting all your hopes and all your expectations on in a 17-game season. I'm not saying you got to go full Pat Mahomes. I'm not saying you got to sit him for the whole year. I just don't think 17 is a good idea. Now, he gave the right answer there, right? They say when I'm ready, I'm ready. I think he's ready right now. And that was one of the upsides there during the draft. He's ready to play week one. I don't think that makes it the best for his long-term growth and development. The other thing bringing him in week six, week seven does is it resets the stat board, right? He's not competing for any rookie records, positive or negative. He can throw interceptions, take sacks, and it's not. You remember Sam Howell last year? That was a real thing. Is he going to be sacked more than any rookie ever has in the history of the NFL? They're chasing that until week 18. You don't need that conversation. It's not productive. It's not helpful. And look, let Marcus Mariota play. I know the fan. I hear you booing, but there's no risk that he Wally Pips this and you never hear from Jaden Daniels again. He's the perfect stopgap guy. Let Jeff Driskel play. I'm playing a long game here. I'd like the team to be good again. I don't care if they win week two of this season. I care if we're talking about a playoff caliber team in 3 years and 4 years. Don't break the rookie quarterback. It just seems like you can do far more damage than harm with that. Now, the other storyline was his college teammate, Malik Nabers, who ended up with the Giants in the division, was on the Pivot podcast a couple weeks ago. I've never heard of the Pivot, but he was asked. He said he and Jaden Daniels have a bet going on who will be rookie of the year this year in the NFL for $10,000 cash, which is, it's the NIL world. It's NIL world. They've got that now. This isn't like we got to scrap for our 10 G's and then we'll give it out. $10,000 they've wagered on whether or not they'll be rookie of the year. And so Mike Florio, who does not enjoy fun, has never enjoyed fun. I say that I'm the professor. I've got the character, but he's always tisking everybody. He's tisking this. And look, they shouldn't have shared it out loud. That's obviously your first mistake here. There are very legitimate concerns with gambling and the gambling industry and the amount of money they pump into football and whether the game's compromised, anything like that. Bets among teammates and between people have been going on for years, right? We made fun of the Dave and Buster's thing where you like download an app so you can bet your friend. The people have been betting on the golf course for years. And so the problem here is because the NFL blindly chased the money from gambling, now everything gets associated with the larger societal evil. And I'm not saying that this, you know, they should be publicizing it. I don't think they should be publicizing. But amongst themselves, I can tell you in every locker room since the dawn of time, guys have been making bets about literally everything, including who can throw their wadded up athletic tape into the trash can across the room. And because they make a lot more money than the rest of us, they bet a lot more money than the rest of us because they have a lot more money than the rest of them. I mean, for these kids, they're not waiting to make their money anymore. They're coming from college pre-rich and they're having fun with each other. And they're gonna get tisk-tisk for this. But the reason they're tisk-tisk is not because they are necessarily doing something bad. It's because the league has gone so in bed with gambling that we now see everything as being a thing. And that's just another, you know, the owners get richer. The players take the brunt of it. I don't see anybody on TV tisk-tisking owners for plastering gambling ads all over the stadium. Here's the other thing about a 10 grand bet between friends. The amount of cumulative money they will have at the end of that bet is $10,000. Here's the thing about betting $10,000 on an app. At the end, the company will have money and you won't have money. There are no skimming off the top here, right? It's different. It's fundamentally different. It's two people who can afford to do it who are having fun. I wouldn't surprise me if that becomes a thing. Everything's got to be a thing these days. Won't surprise me when that's a thing as well. The other issue, of course, in Commander's land, because it is always and forever an issue, is the name of the Washington Commanders, which I'd like to emphasize for the 900th time is a terrible name. We are the Commanders. Still a terrible name. But there's debate. I'll skip the Rick Snyder clip for now because we're nearing the end of the segment here. Rick Snyder was on his YouTube talking about the name. He was doing a little rant. They're not changing the name. They're not changing the name. Sure, they're not changing the name this year. The debate is, do you buy a Jaden Daniels jersey? Because they might change the name. Two things. One, history in Washington tells us that quarterbacks don't last forever, so you might have a new quarterback before you have a new name, right? If you're to provide betting odds, a thing you can't do because betting companies have sucked all the money out of the room and we can't say things like that anymore, apparently. But if you were a betting man, you would bet that there would be a new quarterback in D.C. before there's a new name. I continue to think a new name's coming with the new stadium in 29, in 30, down the line. This is a long game. Everybody wants it right now. Everybody wants instant gratification. They know the name is terrible. They get it. There will be a new name at some point. Will it be immediate? I don't think it'll be immediate because if you rebrand and then you win 5 games, new name's got that stink too. My favorite counterargument, of course, is what if they win the Super Bowl? Then you can't change the name because everybody will love it. One, no. But two, what a terrible problem to bring up as even being a problem. Like, well, if they win the Super Bowl, you'll feel pretty stupid, MP. Like, betcha I won't. Betcha I'll be out there celebrating and buying gear with everybody else. Oh, they win the Super Bowl. They can't change the name. Great. What a phenomenal problem to have. MP's got to eat his words because they won the freaking Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm in. I'm in for that. Great. If that's the deal you want to make, that if they win the Super Bowl, they can't change the name, I'm in. You can call them whatever they want if they win the Super Bowl. Great. I'll call them anything as long as we call them champions. It's a completely illogical argument that makes no sense to me at all and never has. I want to get to basketball. Want to get to the NHL because it's been spectacular. Unfortunately, the best of it has been after bedtime, as we say in old man world over here. But it's been really good. We'll dive into that. But right now, in celebration of us being at TGI Fridays tomorrow, May 10th, for our show. We'll be live from TGI Fridays, West Broad and Glenside. Hit up the listener line, 833-804-0910. First caller gets $50 to TGI Fridays. We'll send you a gift card, 50 big ones for TGI Fridays. In there, it's always Friday. Tomorrow, it'll actually be Friday, and we'll actually be at Fridays. We'll be back with more MP on the Mic right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Here's what blows my mind about the Diamond, which is now slated to be replaced. City Council approved the plan. They will do a groundbreaking in June. That's next month. That's exciting. Sell the bonds, get to work. They say they can open up for the 26th season, and they're right. If everything goes on schedule, it takes 18 months to build a ballpark, run the numbers out, it's doable. But here's what's wild about the Diamond. The Diamond is, some people are like, wow, you're way younger than you look. The Diamond, to me, feels like it's 7,000 years old. Like the ancient Mesopotamians built the Diamond to play some kind of stick and ball game, and we just stumbled upon it and are using it for minor league baseball.
Uncovered it in an archaeological dig.
The Diamond is 40 years old.
What?
that dates it to the 80s, which,
hey,
I mean, that's a decade I was alive in.
Yeah.
Feels like I've never known a time in my life where we weren't sophisticated enough as a society to not build things that look like the Diamond. But apparently that's not true. Look, I'm not going to miss it, but I think the squirrels have gotten every ounce out of it, and they've done a very nice job with it. Hazel, you asked what I did for my off day yesterday. I had a very eventful off day yesterday. This was like your first true off day in forever, right? You're done with school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so good for you.
Yeah. I'm free.
Good for you. I went over, I heard from Judy Woodruff. The PBS NewsHour.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about the importance of local news, which I'm very passionate about, as you know, and I'm working on a number of projects in that space that I'm very excited about that I'll share with you guys as they come to fruition. This is neither here nor there, though, because I'm over at the Omni with mm-hmm. the fancy people, drinking my tea with the pinky out. This conference has a sponsor, and it's Natural Spirit Spring Water. I'm going to hand this over to you. So they're giving out a sparkling water. This is a Virginia brand. This is Richmond sparkling water.
Richmond spark
by local.
From where?
From Richmond.
Oh.
Yeah. Bottled and
find
sourced
your spirit,
right
to natural country.
What does it look like, Dio?
It looks like a beer.
No. No. It looks like a pack of cigarettes.
Okay.
Right?
Specifically, it does look like a pack of cigarettes.
It really looks like a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
They're leaning.
I mean, that's Virginia, right?
Sure.
That's what you guys do here.
They're leaning into the liquid death water.
That's what I was thinking. But
everybody,
they've gone another direction.
Everybody's drinking the liquid death water now. And it's so popular because, you know, it makes you cool. Water's cool now. Water's in.
Well, water is in.
This is water that looks like a pack of cigarettes.
It does. It does.
And that's edgy.
And it's spirit. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, the spirit play on what, you know, Native American spirit cigarettes, but it looks like a Marlboro can.
It does.
Yeah, we're not being paid to promote them. We're just sharing that my mind was blown.
This is so interesting.
There are two ways this could go.
Uh-huh.
One, we never hear from these people again. And this thing fizzles.
Uh-huh.
You know, no pun intended. Or this thing becomes the hottest thing to sweep Richmond. Because in Richmond, you never know. We spent multiple shows talking about the, like, the sinkhole, the gun hole.
We did.
It doesn't take much to break through.
You're telling me I'm going to see people drinking cigarette waters left and right?
Feel free to keep that cigarette water if you need a cigarette water.
I'm going to start the trend. I'm going to go to every cool place in Richmond and just take one sip and leave.
Who's that?
Who's that drinking
what
that cigarette
drinking?
Water?
What are they drinking? Wow. Oh, my.
I think I need to get me one of those.
Got to get me some of that cigarette water.
Where'd you get that? I was like, sorry, I know Judy Woodruff. tangentially,
Judy was not caught drinking a cigarette water. That was not part of the gig. Enjoynaturalspirit.com. There you go. We'll give them a little plug because we're talking about their water here on the program. All right, so they have a store online. That's a 16.
Merch?
No. There's the water.
Okay.
16 ounce aluminum can of water. And aluminum cans are in, by the way. Plastic is out. Aluminum's in, which is good.
Everybody's against microplastics.
My understanding is that's good for the world.
Yeah.
That we're doing aluminum now. 16 ounce can of sparkling water from Richmond,
$2. $2? I was going to go $6.87.
Yeah. No, $2 feels reasonable. They also sell it as a four pack. A four pack is $12.
Wait a minute. I'm running the numbers here.
One can is $2.
Right.
A four-pack is $12.
Okay.
And may have to pay the cigarette tax or something. I don't know. We'll
Does
get
it come in a nice box? Is it wooden? Is it a collectible?
If Joe Camel hand delivers it to you, I'm in for the four-pack. Absolutely.
It's for an experience.
They need to get a mascot, you know. The Marlboro man comes back, but he's chugging water on his ranch, you know.
So healthy.
While he's lassoing his horses. I am old enough to remember cigarette ads. Which you, like the Joe Camel and the Marlboro man and all. You can't do that anymore.
We watched them in class, like, look at what they used to do. Can you believe this? I'm drinking cigarette water. Here we are.
Welcome to Richmond. We got a great show for you today, though, as we get ready for tomorrow's great show, which will be live from TGI Fridays. We'll give away a TGI Fridays gift card later in the program. When we come back, though, Lane Casadante is on. We'll ask him about yesterday's vote to replace the diamond. 40 years of the diamond. We've been schlepping up those stairs for a long time. Finally, hope is on the horizon. Also, great night in Major League Baseball last night. The Nats and the O's going toe-to-toe, inning-to-inning. Finally settled in the 12th with the Orioles coming away with a 7-6 win. Is it a rivalry? It's not a rivalry, but for one night, felt pretty good. Felt like a little regional charged, not rivalry, but an intense matchup. Both teams wanted to win. All that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Thursday morning, big day in Richmond. Finally, a vote, an actual tallied vote on a new ballpark. It's coming, Richmond. It's coming. Will it come in 26? Who knows? These things have a way of sliding off their timetables. But it's coming. There will be a shovel in the ground. And as I've said, they're not going to take the baseball team away with a shovel in the ground, with steel beams coming out of the ground. Nobody knows the ups and downs of this saga better than Lane Casadante. He's a sports director at CBS 6. They're the only show in town when we're talking about TV sports. They do a fantastic job. He is kind enough to join us on Thursdays, as he does right now. Lane, we've declared finish lines before prematurely, so I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but sure feels like we're going to have a new baseball stadium here.
Well, this year's effort has gone further than any others have gone, and by that it means that the money has been secured, or at least agreed to be secured. And I can't remember ever getting this far, and this is the kind of the most important early hurdle that you have to jump. There's obviously construction issues and, things, infrastructure and things that you have to work through there. But the money thing is always the toughest part, because that's the one in which everyone is the most interested.
Important to get it done now, because I've said this, I don't think it was a bluff from Major League Baseball that they would have pulled this team without a new stadium or a new stadium plan. As you know, they've reshuffled the minor leagues. They're under Major League Baseball control now. I don't think this is the minor leagues of old where they're catering to markets. This is a developmental league now.
Well, yes and no. It wasn't a bluff. They're serious about wanting the best possible facilities for their players. However, a couple of years ago when this was really getting started, and actually I think it was last year when the city moved the date back a year. Remember, it was supposed to be 2025, and they're like, yeah, we'll have it, but it'll be 26. And yep. Everybody was like, uh-oh. You know, you just can't come in and tell Major League Baseball what you're going to do. But I asked a friend of mine who works within baseball up in New York, and I laid everything out for him, and his very first and pretty much only question to me was, how do they draw? And I said, they lead the league, and there are years that they lead all of minor league baseball in attendance. And he goes, they're fine. So that's what baseball looks at. You know, are you drawing? Are you, important to your community? Richmond is a really, really big market for minor league baseball. I believe it's the biggest market in the Eastern League anyway, and it's one of the biggest minor league markets on the East Coast. They would really rather not have a giant void here if they can sidestep it. So while it wasn't a total bluff, Richmond's real important. And really, this goes back to what the Flying Squirrels and Parney and the entire staff over there have been able to mean to this community, why they have become more important than just any other team that has ever called Richmond home over the past 25 years.
And they'll have success whatever they do, but I would really love, and people say, well, you know, new stadium, let's get AAA back. I don't, AA, AAA, it's all good baseball. I don't get worked up in that. I would really love, though, to see them with a new facility affiliate with, you know, my pick would be the Nationals, but any team with juice on the East Coast where we can watch guys play and then watch guys play on TV at night. You know, not that that's make or break, but I think that would do a lot for, yeah, as sports guys here, the sports end of the operation.
It would help tremendously in terms of marketing and in terms of even ramping up more interest. But here's the thing about that. The Squirrels have managed to do what they have done without that element. You always say that, when you're marketing a sports franchise or something like that, whether it's baseball, football, soccer, basketball, wherever, whatever it is, you're going to get your core audience. The hardcore baseball fans are going to go watch the Squirrels no matter what because it's baseball. What that team has been able to do is get everybody interested in an event where they're not, you know, they're not married to what's going on between the lines. So you're right. The fact that if they could get a team that has some regional interest, and that's what really sustained the R Braves for so long, because we watched all those guys come through and then play for division championships and World Series and all that other stuff, that would make Parnes and Anthony Opperman and Trey Wilson's job a lot easier over there. But at the same time, you know, they've done all this without the benefit of that asset.
Trey was on our show Tuesday. He had the day off Monday because they don't play on Monday, so he rented a car in Erie, Pennsylvania, drove to Philly, watched Mason Black's debut with the Giants, then drove back to Erie 6 hours each way. That is a busman's holiday, Lane. Little baseball on your day off.
Well, and I know when Robert Fish used to be the voice of the Richmond Braves, whenever they went to, and not every time, but when they went to Syracuse, he would do the same thing, only he would head to Cooperstown.
Ooh.
And it's about an hour and a half drive between Syracuse and Cooperstown. But for people who are down here, you know, Cooperstown ain't easy to get to, trust me. I drive through it several times a year. And you really need to know where you're going, and you have to have a singular focus. So if you're anywhere in that area and have never been to Cooperstown, you kind of have to take an entire day and just blot it out and go see it, because once you're there, there ain't not much else around there. So that's your day, what you're doing that for. But yeah, there's a lot of hardcore baseball fans around here that have embraced the players, watched them as they move up through to the Giants and everything. And the other thing about a new ballpark is, and I know there's a lot of people around here that say, well, they're drawing all that well at the Diamond. Why replace the Diamond? There's nothing wrong with it. I can't even begin to tell you what's wrong with that building. But when there is a new park, it's not going to be the Taj Mahal either. It's not going to be Camden Yards. It's not going to be, you know, the new Yankee Stadium or anything like that. But when you see what's available with the amenities in a new ballpark and how much better it is for not just the players, but for the fans, for fans of all ages, you know, of all, you know, all abilities, everything. It's just going to be such a much better experience. And here was something that I did not think about until just a few weeks ago. Someone told me this. I'm trying to remember how long it's been. It has been well over a generation, maybe close to 40 or 50 years, since someone has been able to go to a ball game at that site on the boulevard and catch a home run.
Oh, because you can't do it at the Diamond.
Right. And I talked to someone who can remember going to games at Parker Field as a kid, and they said, well, there really wasn't seats out there either, but you could kind of stand outside the fence in some places, and that way you might have been able to do it. But again, you're talking easily 40, 45 years ago. So people around here, you know, you can catch a foul ball and that's great or anything and everything, but you know, catching a home run is a little bit different. You've never been able, there's two generations of people in this town that have never been able to do that. And that's a little thing, but you're going to be able to do that with this new park.
I know some cars that have caught balls.
Cars catch all that stuff. Yes, exactly. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the excitement of, the home runs there, they disappear somewhere in the concrete jungle that's outside the fence at the Diamond. But you'll be able to see the game, walk all the way around the stadium and never take your eyes off the field. You'll be able to catch the game from every different vantage point. You're not going to have to climb how many stairs to get up to, general admission seats like you do now. There's just going to be so many things that fans are going to be like, I can't believe, we didn't do this sooner.
The players won't have a locker room that floods every time it rains. It truly is the little things in life, Lane. That's
yeah, and I can't tell you how many iterations of designs and drawings and plans for that piece of land that I've seen over the last 30 years. But I can say that they've never gotten to the point where the money was accounted for. Now it is, and again, I think we're just, a few weeks away actually from seeing some real progress over there.
I'll see you at the groundbreaking. Lane Castadone, CBS 6 sports director. That's going to be a nice civic event, a long time in the making. Before we let you go, I'd love for you to share about the feature you did last Thursday about Randolph-Macon's athletes prioritizing mental health, because I thought that was a really good segment.
The three young ladies that I talked to, they're all athletes. One of them had to give up playing basketball because her father, unfortunately, has had a lot of medical challenges, but they all saw the importance, and it's a small part of the population that we maybe don't think about. And one of the girls had a great thought about it. She said, athletes are expected to be perfect. And when you're not, you catch more grief for it than others might, because you know how fans can get on. We all get on athletes when they don't perform the way we want them to. So they've opened a chapter of Morgan's Message. It was named in honor of a young lady from Northern Virginia, from Fauquier County, who played lacrosse at Duke and unfortunately took her own life 5 years ago. And she was the prototypical, always in a good mood, everyone's friend, amazing athlete, supportive family. And again, we've heard this too many times, no one saw it coming. Well, these girls are trying to be a resource for people to prevent that in their own little way and in their own little community, to try and stop that from happening to someone else up at Randolph-Macon. They're very dedicated. They're very educated about all of this. And they are just trying to be there for anyone that, athletes also have trouble reaching out because, you're supposed to be tough. You're supposed to be strong. You're supposed to fight through it. Well, sometimes you can't. And they are trying to get the message out that it's okay if you can't. And there are, dozens of resources and hundreds of people that are willing to help if you can just find a way to ask.
Great story. And that's, of course, at WTVR.com. Lane's on CBS 6 as the sports director, only sports game in town for local TV. Lane, we always appreciate you taking a few minutes for us on Thursdays.
Mike, thanks for having me, Mike. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You bet. There he goes, and there we go. We got five more segments today. We'll give away $50 to TGI Fridays before it's all said and done. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Almost done with hour number one of MP on the Mic. It flies by when you have great guests like Lane Castadone. If you missed it, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. Catch up on our stadium talk as City Council finally approves the money. $170 million baseball stadium, and you never it's never a done deal till you're watching baseball there, but this is as close as we've gotten at any point along the way. All right, I want to play this because this just made me laugh. We don't go into politics a lot around here, but by having a week standards, Kristi Noem is having a week. She is the governor of the great state of South Dakota. Which is a beautiful state, by the way. Very underrated state. You got Mount Rushmore, you got the Badlands, you got great camping. If you're an outdoorsy person, like Montana gets all the love, but it spills into South Dakota. They got some love too. Beautiful state. She is trying to be the vice president for Donald Trump on the ticket.
That's right.
So she put out a book, which is what you do. I write about your life, your policies, all they all put out a book. But in the book, she talked about how she's able to make tough decisions because she shot her 13-month-old dog because it was too yippy, too loud and aggressive.
Yeah.
So she took it out back and shot it.
It's a tough story to share in your memoir.
It's an unforced error is how we score that.
That
wasn't opposition research found out that you shot your dog. She wrote it in her autobiography.
She could have lied about the reason.
Her autobiography. Well, you could have just not told the story.
Oh, she chose to tell the story.
She chose to tell the story because it says something about her. And we all learned something about her. But she also wrote about staring down Kim Jong-un, North Korea's tyrant dictator. This story fell apart upon further scrutiny during a CBS News appearance.
Talk about meeting some world leaders and one specific one. Quote, I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. I've been a children's pastor after all. Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
Well, you know, as soon as this was brought to my attention, I certainly made some changes and looked at this passage. And I've met with many, many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. As soon as it was brought to my attention, we went forward and have made some edits. So I'm glad that this book is being released in a couple of days and that those edits will be in place and that people will have the updated version.
So you did not meet with Kim Jong-un. That's what you're saying.
No, I've met with many, many world leaders. Many world leaders. I've traveled around the world,
there.
I think.
it's the pauses for me. Oh, no. Pretty simple question. Yeah, that didn't stump you with the brainbusters there.
Well, she's met many world leaders.
Who can keep track of all the tyrant leaders that you've met over the years? Who's to say? But did you meet him? Pause. I don't think she's going to get to be vice president.
But I'm very excited that my book is coming out in a few days, and if we could redirect back to that.
If I could just remind you, it's on sale now. You can find it on the fiction shelves, apparently.
Yeah. Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
I don't think you get to be vice president.
Now, North Korea is not a country I'd necessarily space on visiting. I feel like when you're in North Korea, you're like, in North Korea.
Were you in Belgium? Who can remember? France, Belgium, the Netherlends are all kind of, it all blended together. There was wine, there was cheese, we had waffles. Who's to say? I don't know. Were you ever in North Korea?
Yes or a no.
I feel like you'd remember that a little bit. A little bit.
Seems like it.
You ever been to South Dakota? Like, I don't know. We did some national parks.
Mountains.
Mountains. We drove across the country. I don't know. It all blends in.
Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
Meeting Kim Jong-un, I feel like I'd remember that. Even if I were an important person.
You know, I'd write that down.
Dear diary.
In my memoir, I stared down Kim Jong-un.
Dear diary, today I met Kim Jong-un, and the food was not any good.
There was none.
Excited to be back in America.
Where am I again? I don't know. So many world leaders.
Hey, I think Kim Jong-un would probably remember it too. I mean,
based on the story from her book,
Kim Jong-un would be across from her like, whoa, you shot your dog?
Your dog. Too yippy, huh?
Ooh, boy. Okay. That's Kristi Noem, former contender for governor or for vice president of the United States. I don't think we're moving in a positive direction there. Might sell some books though. You never know. You never know what's going to sell a book and what isn't going to sell a
morbid
book.
Morbid curiosity.
Morbid curiosity might sell some books. Drama in the world of golf as well. Our guy Rory McIlroy. I feel for Rory. He is the last man standing in this fight against LIV Golf. And he's getting kicked off of the PGA Tour policy board. Here's Rory.
It got pretty complicated and pretty messy. And I think with the way it happened, I think it opened up some old wounds and scar tissue from things that have happened before. There was a subset of people on the board that were maybe uncomfortable with me coming back on for some reason. I think the best course of action is if there's some people on there that aren't comfortable with me coming back on, then I think Webb stays on and sees out his term, and I think he's gotten to a place where he's comfortable with doing that, and I just sort of keep doing what I'm doing.
So as everything's going down, as the Saudis are paying $1 billion for all these golfers and bringing them in, Rory is standing firm. I'm a PGA Tour guy. I don't like the LIV. And then the PGA Tour stabs him in the back by making the deal with LIV, which still hasn't come to fruition yet. But now the people on the tour board are uncomfortable with him being on the board because he's against making a deal with the Saudis. So now he's all the way on the outside and has no money to show for it. At this point, who would blame him for just taking the money? Just take the money. The PGA Tour has kicked you off the board because you're anti-Saudi. Like, there's nothing left here. They've hollowed out the sport. It's a little bit like the baseball strike in 94, right? It's going to take a minute to repair this kind of damage. We'll keep an eye on it, as we say around here. Hour number two on tap, TGI Friday's giveaway, and more. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Great show. Thank you to everybody who has called. The lines are closed, though. We have given out our $50 gift card to TGI Friday's. Another one coming tomorrow. Two for tomorrow. We got two to give out, one in each hour when we're live at TGI Friday's, West Broad, and Glenside. We'll see you out there. Show's 10 to noon. We'll hang out after 12 p.m. noon for a little while. Hang out, do our thing. A little breaking news from the world of hockey. The Maple Leafs have fired coach Sheldon Keefe. After another disappointing playoff exit, they stretched the Bruins to overtime game 7. Did not get the job done. They are on the hunt for a new coach. We'll get into the NHL playoffs, which have been fantastic, momentarily. But last night was the series I think everybody's been waiting for and has delivered so far as well. I've enjoyed watching it for sure. Knicks Pacers at the Garden, and it was the Dante DiVincenzo show late.
Drives on Halliburton, right wing. DiVincenzo lines up a three and knocks it down. And the Knicks lead by 9.
6 of 11 from the three-point line is Dante DiVincenzo.
He's part of that young Knicks core, the Nova core, right? Villanova to the Knicks, and they've been making some noise in this series. Now, Jalen Brunson was out for a bit, came back into the game. He talked about the atmosphere at the Garden, which has been, look, I don't like giving New York credit for things. It's been pretty electric, though.
Having, obviously the Knicks legends around, is special. And it's really cool to see they come out and show support, and it's not just one game. You know, they've been to a lot of games, and they're not just sitting there drinking and having some popcorn. They're up yelling, screaming it into the game. So it's really cool to see those guys there, and we definitely appreciate it.
Because generally speaking, the more money people pay for their tickets, the less rowdy of an atmosphere you're going to get. Like, you go to Yankee Stadium ever since they've redone it, you can't get in the lower level for less than $200 now. It's dead in there. It's not a good atmosphere for baseball, as the old one used to be when they were selling tickets for much cheaper and people could get it. The Garden hasn't been that. These tickets have been going for $600, $700, $800 to these games, and the fans are screaming and yelling and getting into it. The legends are there courtside. The celebrities are there. But it's still a great atmosphere. People are getting into it. Tip of the hat to the Garden, living up to its legend status in this series. Of course, the Pacers' takeaway from this is the refs hate us. And I gave my take on that the other day, which is I'm okay with a little home court advantage. Yesterday, Rick Carlisle, the Pacers coach, cranked it up to a new level after the game. And we'll hear his gripes in a second. But I also think this, as a guy who doesn't watch a lot of NBA, was watching yesterday, you hate to fall back on the cliches. The Knicks just wanted it more. Knicks were playing harder, diving more, getting after balls, you know, more physical. And I think that was part of the objection of Rick Carlisle was the amount of physicality. I think the NBA pretty clearly communicated they were going to allow a little bit more this year. They were going to call fewer fouls. And it's funny, on the anniversary of the Reggie Miller series, you know, watching these old clips, anytime you watch old basketball, they're still not even close to what they were allowing in the 90s in terms of contact. Makes it ring a little hollow to me. Rick Carlisle was hot after the game, though.
You know, the whole world knows that Halliburton's got a bad back, and Hart comes up and shoves him in the back,
And it's all over Twitter right now because a few people have showed it to me. And JB DeRosa's looking right at it. You can see him. He's got vision of the play. And he shoves Ty right into the corner, and there's no whistle. Right in the back. And so that was shocking, you know. And there are many others. But I can promise you that we're going to submit these tonight. New York can get ready. They'll see them too. You know, I'm always talking to our guys about not making it about the officials. But, you know, we deserve a fair shot, you know, and there's not a consistent balance, and that's disappointing.
Life advice? This isn't advice for Rick Carlisle. This is life advice. If your argument is it's all over Twitter, you've lost. You've lost the argument before, but it's all over Twitter. Nope. People are posting about it on social media. Yeah, you've lost the argument. You have already lost the argument. Nope. They communicated what was going to happen. What they communicated was going to happen happened. The other thing is, look, I get that the Knicks are good. I don't think the Pacers are out of this. But I do know that as the coach, when you push that button, when you push the everybody's out to get us and we can't win in a fair game button, it becomes tougher to win, not easier, because your guys enter that mentality. And everything that goes against you builds. And anytime you get a call against you, oh, we can't win. The coach is right. We can't win. I don't think the Pacers are done by any stretch. They've played two very competitive basketball games in a very raucous environment at the Garden. They're going back to Indianapolis. I would expect they'll have a great environment. It's 2-0. The home team's won twice. Series doesn't start until the road team wins. You hear that every year. That's true. You want to tell me the Pacers win the next two? I'll nod my head. I think they're good enough to do it. I don't think they're going to do it like that, though, with their coach spouting off conspiracy theories. Celtics-Cavs tonight in the other series. Celtics up 1-0 in that one. Little Celtics-Knicks Eastern Conference Final. And draw some eyeballs. That draw a little bit of attention. Especially if you paired that with a Rangers-Bruins series, right? Get NHL, NBA, and alternating days in these two cities. It'd be ESPN's dream right there. Full on I-95 special, Boston and New York. It's possible. It could happen. We'll get to the hockey in a second. West Coast Thunder and the Mavs tonight as well. Thunder up 1-0 in that series. And the big surprise, the Timberwolves up 2-0 on the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic, MVP of the league, announced yesterday. I am as surprised as anybody, but I think we're seeing the emergence on a national stage of Anthony Edwards in these playoffs, and I'm for it. You saw the story yesterday. The ratings are down 9% or whatever it was. You don't need the old stars if you're creating new stars. Now, if you're not creating stars, then you've got a prop. If you just have teams playing and nobody can identify with them, as long as you're creating stars, you're fine. That series is creating stars. I don't worry about the long-term health of the NBA when you got guys like that playing, generating highlights, generating big plays, making it back to my feed. You know, it's all over the Twitter. It's all over the Twitter. NHL last night as well. We'll start in Florida with the Panthers, who went up 6-1 over the Bruins.
Had it poked away, and now the Panthers fight to keep it in. Here's Barkov, high slot, looks right, Reinhardt Barkov in front of shot, he scores! It's Barkov on the power play, and the Panthers add on another one.
Have yourself a night.
So after the sixth goal, which was scored by the Panthers, Matthew Tkachuk of the Panthers scores the goal. He starts celebrating, starts mouthing off. Now that's not unusual. People who don't watch a lot of hockey think there's a lot of fighting in hockey. There's actually not in the playoffs. It's not really something that happens in the playoffs because every game's too important, every penalty's too important, everybody keeps to themselves. So not only was the shock that there was a fight, and at the end of a 6-1 game, send your goon out there, have a fight, oh, we're not going to take this. Like, well, don't let them score if you don't want to take it, first of all. But secondly, you can take a penalty if they make it 7-1. It'll still be 0-0 the next night. But the Bruins' best player, David Pasta, goes out and starts the fight against Tkachuk. That's the part that's surprising. Because if he gets hurt, you know, they throw down the gloves, they fist fight. If he gets hurt, now all of a sudden that could change the whole series. Because right now it's just 1-1, Florida and Boston. Their star player comes out and instigates the fight. They were chirping for a minute before. Who knows what they were saying? He didn't get hurt. Looked like he was all right. That's the sort of thing that if they win the series, you're like, man, champion, heart of a champion right there. Didn't send his goon out. He took care of business himself. It was his fight. He settled it. He inspired his whole team because he wasn't too good for that. It's also one of those things where if he punches him in the jaw and he's out for two games, you're like, that was the stupidest thing he could have possibly done. Best player. Why is your best player out there fighting in a 6-1 game? Looks like he survived. Florida-Boston 1-1. That'll be a good series. Rangers survived double overtime Tuesday night. We weren't on the air yesterday to relive the excitement of that. That was a thriller against Carolina. Man, it sure felt like that was everything the Canes had, that they wanted it 1-1 coming back home. Rangers up 2-0. That may have been it. Maybe close to closing time on that one with the Rangers up 2-0 headed back to Carolina. The best hockey, though, is happening on the West Coast, this Vancouver-Edmonton series, which was wild last night. Vancouver is down 4-1. Edmonton rallies back. Or Edmonton's up 4-1. Vancouver rallies back, wins it 5-4. Same in the Colorado-Dallas series. Dallas was up 4. Colorado rallies back. Best hockey's being played after bedtime right now. But if you could stay up late, if you can live the AWOD life, you can enjoy good sports after dark. Back with more after this. Another great game that went the distance last night. The Nationals and the Orioles. Don't call it a rivalry, but call it a good baseball game between a couple of, not surprising on the Orioles front, but surprising on the Nats front. They're a good team right now. Break up the Nats. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.